Good to be here tonight. You know, actually, if you're in Israel, this is Christmas. It starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. So I guess we can view at it this way. It's good to see a longtime friend, Brother Greg, here tonight. I guess he lives over in Eastern Washington now, but met him here many years ago. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. There I'm on. So if you're able, we'll just read a few verses. Let's stand, if you will, if you're able. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now jump over to chapter 2, and the last verse of that chapter, verse 23. It says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, help us as we dig into it tonight to not only learn some truths, but Lord, you might speak to our hearts. And we think of long ago when you came to this earth and came to sacrifice yourself for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you love us that much. Now give me that unction from the Holy Spirit to preach so we'd hear what we need to hear tonight from you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I borrowed a couple pieces of a puzzle. These are tiny little pieces here tonight. I know you can't see them unless you got x-ray vision or something. But, how many times have you done a puzzle when you get to the end and there's a piece missing or a few pieces? That's frustrating. And you might have spent hours on this 1,000-piece puzzle and someone stole a piece, you know. Let me say, the first coming of Christ was not by accident, but it was a piece of God's plan in a giant puzzle. In fact, fortunately with God, unlike us, there's no missing pieces. He's still working this puzzle. In fact, it's a 6,000-plus-year puzzle. And the history of mankind is a giant puzzle that God started from long ago to bring about his plan of redemption. What's great about it, throughout history, there's this weaving in this puzzle of salvation through Christ from beginning to ending. Say from the beginning? Yes, from the very beginning. The key, should I say, of all the puzzle came on the day we're celebrating this time of year, the birth of Christ. And some may be thinking, well, what's the big significance? I mean, did God just hope it would all work out? Or did God orchestrate a plan from long ago how it would all come together and fulfill according to his plan in a perfect, precise, giant puzzle? I remember reading many years ago about Beethoven, the great composer, who became deaf the later part of his life, almost completely deaf. And his most famous symphony, get this, he wrote it when he was deaf, the Ninth Symphony. The guy was such a, he is a master composer, you know. He started playing the piano naturally at the age of 7. Can you imagine that? But anyway, so when he first did the performance, of the Ninth Symphony, the crowd went wild. They were standing and cheering, and he didn't hear them. Someone grabbed and turned him around to look. And when he saw how they were cheering, he goes, "No, not me, him. You know, he understood it was all God's doing the work, you know. And, you know, it is all God doing a work. We're thinking of it right now. Throughout the Old Testament, think about this. There's there's thousands of years of the Lord Jesus weaved through this Bible in the Old Testament. And then these prophecies reveal so much about the Lord, much of which, listen to me, most of the prophecy has already happened, but there's still yet some to take place. Among these prophecies, there's several that describe his birth in Bethlehem. This, I mean, what I'm looking at tonight is incredible. I mean, I serve a God who's real, and his word is perfect. And we look at the puzzle here. We look at a few things tonight. By the grace of God, I pray you'll be rejoicing when we leave tonight. But each of these prophecies in the Old Testament speak of some wonderful and encouraging message or messages about the birth of Jesus Christ. It gives the place, the time, the method of his birth, and these pieces point clearly to who he is, when he would come, and why he came. The first thing that was pointed out, I could look at tons of things, but I'll look at a few major ones. In Genesis 49, Jesus is called Shiloh. You say, Shiloh? In the prophecy Jacob gives to his sons, he said this concerning Judah. In Genesis 49, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." You say, Shiloh? I never heard that. Well, Shiloh, of course, first is a city we know of in early Israel. When Eli was the high priest, and remember Samuel was brought there to live with him, the place where the tabernacle was set up was called Shiloh. And Shiloh is a unique name. In fact, the Hebrew term is the same term and used in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it talks about Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. Shiloh is the place of peace. That's what the word means. The same word for Shiloh is used in Isaiah 9:6 when it talks of him being the one of peace. And of course, when the shepherds are announced the birth of Christ by the angels, what do they say? Hey, this is peace, goodwill toward men. Shiloh is coming. Amen? The world strives for peace. They've been working at it my whole life. When they set up the United Nations, they've done a great job at creating war, not peace. The whole idea was to have peace. It didn't happen. Peace only comes through Shiloh, the Prince of Peace. Amen. When he comes, peace will come. The second thing we just read about in verse 23, and I preached briefly at this last Sunday, he says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The miracle of virgin birth is prophesied over 700 years before Jesus is born. The detail is incredible. In fact, the atheists and the liberals, they hate that passage, so they change it. The new versions will change that. A young woman will be with child. That's not what it says. It says a virgin will be with child. It's very specific in the Hebrew. Because God was designing his plan, that puzzle piece, that Jesus would be born of a virgin, was so necessary. As someone has said, sin caused an unpassable crevice dividing us from the Lord. And we cannot get to God. There's no way we can go to God except through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because he took on the seed of the woman. I talked about this last Sunday, and I want to harp on it because it's so crucial. You say the woman has no seed, that's right. But by the miracle of God, she did. Because through the man, and if you want to blame somebody, blame your dad, you got sin from him. Yeah, that's right. She's never forgot that, have you? You got sin from your dad because that's where the sin nature passes. That's Adam's seed. We sang of that in Arthur Harold Angel's seed. The second Adam comes and we get the seed of the woman. He's not born with a sin nature. He's God the Son. Right. And because of that, we can come to Christ. We're born sinners, but we can be delivered from the sin because Jesus is born of the woman without the corrupt seed from the man. God told Mary how it happened. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And so when you get saved, I love it. When you get saved, I mean, that old nature, we still have it, but we're given a new nature. And when God sees us, he sees the Lord Jesus as righteousness. Romans 3:22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that, them that believe, for there is no difference. And so God sees Christ's righteousness because I have none. You say, well, I'm working hard at it. You can't work hard enough. You're a sinner, and you'll stay a sinner unless you take Jesus Christ, who provides you the righteousness of God. Another important thing about, we look at these puzzle pieces, is Jesus is the legal son of Joseph and the physical seed of Mary. You say, what's so significant? This is important. You got to get this tonight. In 1 Chronicles 17, God told David this, I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons. That's pretty specific, isn't it? So it'll be his kids. And I will establish his kingdom. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. You say, well, so what's the big deal, preacher? He's the son of David. Well, there's more to it than this. And so when Jesus is born of a virgin, Joseph takes Mary to be his wife and adopts Jesus. And he becomes the legal son of Joseph. You know, adoption is stronger than physical birth when it comes to legal matters. We had a young man in our church in Longview that was adopted, he and his sister, and his parents were millionaires. They owned a lot of Longview. I tried to witness to them. They were mean and nasty. They hated Christians. They hated me. They hated me because he got saved and they were adopted. And they knew all their millions when they died was what? They have to go to their kids. You know, if you're a physical born child, you can be disowned and not get the inheritance. But when you're adopted, there's nothing the parents can do. They have to give the inheritance to the children. Jesus, legally, is adopted and receives the inheritance as the right and rightful heir to the throne. But there's a problem that happened. So what's the problem? Well, there was a son of David. Name was Coniah, the king. He was cursed because of his sin. In Jeremiah 22, it says, is this man Coniah despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out? He and his seed. Write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. So David's royal line, the seed is cursed. Well, how can the promised son of God take the throne if that line is cursed? Because he's not the seed of David. This is a great miracle. See, I say, talk about a puzzle. This is a real intricate puzzle what God has done. Any king that would sit on the throne from David's seed would be cursed through Solomon. However, David had other kids. He had another son named Nathan. And you know whose descendant that seed is? Mary. This is what amazes me. It tells you the Jews are blinded because there is only one that can be Messiah who has to be of the throne of David, and he's the royal line through Joseph. But he's got the seed line through Mary. And in all of history, there's only two people that have a son like that. There's no one else that can fit that picture except Jesus Christ. See, God weaved a great puzzle, didn't he? I get chills up my spine when I think about it. Micah chapter 5, there's another important thing. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So the child is supposed to be born, the Messiah, in Bethlehem. And he's not any ordinary child. He's going to be from everlasting. Now this little village, when it was written, was just a little village in Judah. It'd be like a, you know, I don't know what town you can compare it. I know towns in Montana you could compare it to, but I don't know about some little town, little burg. Naomi came from there. David came from there. And it was known as a little farm town. Nothing else, you know. The wise man, they were wise. They looked at their Bible, and they knew what the Bible said about this. And so they knew the general vicinity where the star would appear. Because they knew that's where the Messiah would come, because the Bible said so. I mean, isn't this great how these pieces are falling together? That's why we read at the beginning, all these things were fulfillment. Matthew is written to the Jews particularly, and so much is brought up about fulfillment of the Old Testament. It is chosen long ago to fit into this puzzle piece by God. Isn't that great? The tax requirement by Caesar, you know, God, again, he's weaving it in, requires Joseph and Mary to leave Nazareth and go down to Bethlehem to pay the tax. And you think the time was kind of crucial? Yeah. She wasn't going to have that. She was great with child, but God wasn't going to let her have that child until they got to Bethlehem. Yeah. And though Jesus will strike fear when he comes back in power and glory, this humble birth, the Jews didn't expect that. They thought he'd come in power and glory, going to set up a great kingdom. But no, he comes at a humble birth. And that's important to help us understand that the God, the Creator, reaches out to us humble people, us weaklings. He comes in a humble birth to show that God loves us, even though we're unlovely. Don't let a humble birth confuse you, though, because it says his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now notice the Bible's specific. Every word's important. He's not back to everlasting, but he comes from everlasting. In other words, he always was. This is no ordinary little child. This is God the Son in human flesh. See, it's all part of God's puzzle to piece it together. But you know, there's another part that's yet to come, because he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." That word means myriads. What it means is we as saints that have been raptured up after 7 years, we get to come back with him. Now, we're not doing anything. We just get to watch. That'll be cool. Myriads of his saints. And so he come with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. John says, "Even so, amen." See, he's returning first for his own. He's returning the second time to judge this world. That'll be a complete puzzle of God's redemption plan with his people. So, again, I start with the question I said at the beginning. Was this by accident? No. Was the birth of Christ a coincidence? No way. Every detail, if you think of this season, it's all been governed by God. A great orchestration. A great composition, as it were. The place, the time, the people, even the miraculous announcement, which I'll preach on in the morning. So the question comes, where do you fit in this puzzle? He paid for your sin on the cross of Calvary. He provided a way for you to be a part of this redemptive puzzle. Where do you fit? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? He's coming back for His own. There's another puzzle, which involves those who reject Christ on Calvary. This puzzle was designed for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for man. But men followed the devil. And guess what? Men are going to go be with the devil in eternity in hell. In fact, this is now a bigger puzzle than originally designed, because the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. There's more people going there than we can count. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So my question comes, which puzzle are you in? You say, well, I don't want to be in this puzzle. If you don't know the Lord, that's the puzzle you're in. But you can get out of that puzzle and be part of this puzzle. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. This Prince of Peace. You want peace in your soul? You want peace in your heart? You want to have real peace at Christmas? Then come to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, it's a great miracle how you've set this whole plan up, and we thank you, Lord. As we just look into the Word, we're encouraged at this season. And Lord, we thank you for this great puzzle. Lord, I pray for someone tonight maybe that does not know Jesus. They're in the wrong puzzle. Lord, help them to turn to Christ and be in God's puzzle plan. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. As the piano plays, heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord's speaking to you tonight, won't you come? And if you don't know Jesus, especially won't you come tonight? Someone can take the Bible and show you how you can know the Lord tonight. Get that settled for time and eternity. Enter Christmas Day with a joy in your heart that only Jesus can give. That's why He came. Because He loved you. He cared about you. As we sing right now in this first verse, let's sing Just As I Am tonight, okay?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
If the Lord's speaking to you tonight, don't push aside the wooing of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice speaking to you. You need to come.